Welcome back to NFL Rants and Rave. This is Stephen Miranda.
Wow, that was so Stephen Miranda, he had to have an anthem. And this is Jeff Ellis. It is Tuesday, August 7th, 2012.
Episode 8.10. Can I just say 8.10 or 8.10? Is that that's
it's
the way
totally
you want
up
it?
To you.
It's the way you want it. You
yeah,
like
it's all about how I want it, isn't it?
8.10, the NFC East preview show, also known as Stephen's least favorite show of the year.
Steven's least favorite show of the year, and this season, it's my favorite show of the year.
Wow, really? Just this season?
Just this season. I can't speak for the future, but
we're
I can speak
talking,
for the past.
Giants, Eagles, Cowboys, Redskins, not in that order because that would not be alphabetical.
But that would be the order that they finished in last year.
That is correct.
The 9-7 beautiful New York Giants, and then the rest of the division.
I'm going to go on a quick limb here before we even get started, and I guarantee you, 9 games will not win this division.
Damn well better not.
All right, we got lots
NFL
of
news. Most importantly, Hard Knocks starts.
Hard Knocks. And we also have some sad news, unfortunately, to report.
Very sad news.
Let's get to it. Bringing American football to the world, it's Stephen Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves.
It does sound like you say Rants and Raves.
It did.
We probably need to re-record that. That time, it's the same one we've used for years.
Yeah, no, it's but you never mention it. So
I guess
time, because we were silent and we didn't talk over it like we usually do.
Maybe. I don't know. It's just such a, it's, you know what, Stephen? Too damn hot. We're experiencing the heat that most of America has experienced this summer, and it's over 40 degrees Celsius, over 110 degrees Fahrenheit.
Can't wait to leave the rave cave, where it is way hot so that I could go home and jump in my pool.
It's like a sauna.
I'm going to jump in
the rave cave is a freaking sauna. You'd think, being that it's cut out of solid rock, that it would do
that
a better job of
insulation.
But when the temperature gets up to a certain point,
yes,
it actually holds the heat in from the prior day.
You know,
and
what?
That
we
explains
still need
things
to do the whole why it gets icy on bridges because there's nothing underneath it. Do you
if
remember?
Any of you are physicists or responsible for the Mars Curiosity that's up there, you could help us with this little man-made problem here on Earth. Why is it icier under a bridge when it's really cold and icier on top of
a
bridge?
It's both.
Right. It's under the bridge and on top of the bridge. Under makes sense because it's in the shade.
Yes.
So that kind of makes sense.
So it's cooler.
But on
there.
Top of the bridge, where it might be out in the sun, that also is icier during icy conditions. We had a lot of questions out of Dallas in the Super Bowl 45.
That's true.
And they still stay with us, although we were safe as could be.
But speaking of JPL and Esther, congratulations to those great guys who landed Curiosity on Mars. We landed on Mars. Did you ever think that in your lifetime you'd be able to say, we landed on Mars?
I fully expected, having a father in the space program when I was a child, I fully expected that we would actually send a man to Mars by this point.
Yes.
And that's not going to happen.
I don't know if we could do that.
Well,
yet.
Obviously. I thought
However,
we would have
there
some
is
leap.
An organization that has created Project to Mars. They are putting some like $20 billion together. And their mission
of other people's money.
No, their own money, pretty much. And their mission is that by the year 2028, there will be a colony of 50 people living
the
on
question,
Mars.
I mean, the problem that we have, and my scientist friends, most notably Dr. Imel of JPL, who is responsible for positioning the furthest out telescope that we have and focusing that, which is quite a complicated task. His thing has always been, and this goes back to Backpack 20 years ago when we were driving up to Mammoth, and up 395, we had the most incredible talk about time travel. And his basic thing was, we've maxed out the acceleration technology. We need a warp kind of jump,
but
because it takes too long to get there.
Curiosity only took a few months. They shipped that thing up in December.
It took a few months to get there, but it also, I don't know this for sure. I didn't know that about Curiosity, that we shipped it in December, that we launched it in
December. We launched it in December, yes.
Okay. I don't
know. So that's, what, 7-8 months?
Okay, that's a long time to be on a journey.
Okay. Cryostasis.
And again, this is very small, where I assume that the mass of the vehicle that you would need to get there would be rather large.
Need to be a little bit bigger.
Especially in the case of you and I. But that being said, you know, you've got to have room to move, and do you put someone into this cryostasis?
I
want to
stop you there.
You
and I, I'm not... After spending the last couple of days at training camps throughout the West Coast, I'm never putting myself in the big category.
Yeah, well, you surround yourself with NFL linemen and you feel tiny. My new nickname is Tiny.
That's what he called me when I was standing next to him. What's up, Tiny?
What's up, Tiny?
Well, hey, come on now.
No, mine's like, thank you, here's a $20
come on,
bill.
Adam, that's not fair, dude. Look at you guys.
Congratulations to the JPL staff. We got a Mike actually had me talk about it on sports last night. And so my statement, my joke, I'd written a joke and it got left on the shelf. So I got to use it now because it was all sports.
Yes.
And he wanted to talk about this knowing that we live near JPL.
Yes.
So I said, the Mars Curiosity has sent back the answer that we've all been waiting for. Definitive proof that there is no sports on Mars.
I see.
It's not a great joke, but you got to fit into the sports realm. You got to fit in the sporting realm. How is it that we're justified talking about this on a sporting show?
I see.
There's no NFL franchise to be had on Mars to make it.
Well,
in the context.
I think it's okay because I could actually hear the people at JPL clapping. That's how close I am to
and that's
JPL.
That's how excited they were.
And that's true too. But it was like every step, like it did a thing in the mission that it was supposed to, and it was successful. Yeah! Eruption. And then, like, 2 seconds later, it did another part of the mission that was successful, and they got crazy. I just think it's really cool, and I have been a geek, I will admit it, watching the images because I am searching those images for signs of Marvin the Martian. I think he's up there. I think he is real, and we are going to get pictures of him soon. Let's get on to some NFL news.
Must-see TV for the next 5 weeks will be Hard Knocks. If you got HBO, HBO Go, make sure you tune in. Tuesday night at 7 o'clock each night. Eastern time is the 10 p.m. broadcast. On the West Coast, you can see that at 7 p.m. It's must-see TV. Yeah. Hard Knocks is some of the best television about the NFL that's done. How they're going to make this Miami Dolphins team interesting is going to produce the best video we've ever seen.
Over under, how many times Tannehill's wife will be in the first episode? How many shots of his wife?
Six.
I'm going to take the under on that one.
Are you?
I'm going to take
it's
the under.
It's an hour. On that. The show's an hour.
That's still. If all they've got for this.
She's really pretty.
Rendition of camp.
They got more, but they're going to show her saying goodbye, to see them staying in touch.
One, two.
And every night they're staying in touch.
I'm going to go with under. I'm going to go with
take
under,
the under
on,
six.
On six. Yeah,
I won't go any lower than five. I'd be shocked. If they don't do five, they're failing. So tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern time on HBO. It's not television. It's HBO.
It is HBO.
And next, we've got fighting breaking out in Cortland, New York.
That's all anybody was talking about.
At least they're not talking about Tebow.
I was down at Chargers camp yesterday, and all anybody was talking about was, did you hear about the fight?
Which one?
Like with the Jets. Yeah, and then Rex got mad at them, and they fought again.
And then they fought some more. Antonio Cromartie got into it.
That's right. Today, this morning, they started camp again, and Rex, like, yelled at them. Like, literally, like, reporters were saying, we've never seen him in the history of him being the head coach of the New York Jets in a practice that involved media there to watch. We've never seen him be this angry. And then the very next play, they go at it again, and he lines them all up. He lines, stops practice.
Punishment run.
Gassers. 10 minutes worth of gassers. Let's go. Go!
You guys seem to have so much energy that you could beat on each other. Run!
And I think I really like what the lineman, Mike DeVito, had
to
say. He said, you know, as a big guy, you never want to be running gassers. No fight. No fight is worth running gassers when you're over 300 pounds.
Oh, man.
So,
sad.
But you know what? It got them focused. And it got them back to practicing for the rest of
the
day. For the rest of today.
Yesterday, the one with Cromartie came 15 minutes after Rex Ryan ripped him a new one.
Yeah, well.
It's like, come on, guys. Come on, fellas.
After 10 minutes of gassers, I think you're going to not be fighting anymore.
Probably. You don't have it in your tank. Now, Steven, it's time to... this is very dramatic. I'm sorry. It's time for us to take him off the Humnumba shelf.
All right. What is it? I mean, just last episode, we were talking about Terrell Owens, and we said, he's got to be he who must not be named. We got to Humnumba him.
It's not our choice. It's not our choice.
It wasn't.
He was dominating headlines.
News cycles.
And he was not on a team. That is the criteria for Humnumba evening.
And all of a sudden, I'm in San Diego yesterday. I get a text. Teal's working out with the Seahawks, and I'm like,
big deal.
What?
Everyone's worked out for the Seahawks.
No, I was, I mean, because no
but
one.
That was my first thought, was big deal. Everyone's worked out for the Seahawks.
But I was like, no, because no one has brought T.O. in for
right,
me to work.
Right, but Pete Carroll's trying anything.
So I get online, and then I see Aaron Werder saying they really liked what they saw, and they're most likely going to give him a contract. I'm like, no. I make the long drive back from San Diego back home. I get home, and I see Jay Glazer saying, it's a done deal. They've agreed to a one-year contract. And I'm like, he's back. Just like that, the minute we Humnumba him, boom, Terrell Owens.
If you don't have a team and you want one, call us up.
Call
we'll
us up.
Humnumba
we will
you.
Humnumba you. It, but you got to make
who a, has a better season, T.O. or Chad Johnson?
Yeah, I know. That question's coming along
that's
already.
That's why I ask it.
You know what? I think it's pretty certain that Chad Johnson's going to make the team
that's
in Miami.
That's my criteria. And, are you sure to make the team?
Yeah, and
then
I'm
you
not,
probably could have the better season.
I'm not sure, T.O. Although, from Jay Glazer, and I'm actually starting to listen a little bit more to Jay
Glazer.
Well,
Glazer's stopped clowning as much, and he's gotten into much more serious journalism.
I met him and stuff, and listening to what he's got to say, he was saying that it was freakishly ridiculous, his workout.
Steven, isn't that the guy we used to know?
It still is, apparently, from what Glazer
said.
The guy
we used to know of T.O. was, and we would watch him practice with Tony Romo, way before Tony Romo was the quarterback in Dallas.
Yeah.
They would be out on a side practice field, and I swear to you, I have never seen someone change direction in midair. Like T.O. used to be able to do. He would go up for a ball really high and then change directions in midair. I don't know how he defies the laws of physics to do this.
Well, I don't know if you guys have seen our Facebook post or the tweet that I sent out where his picture where he's kind of like got his arms out and he's looking. He just looks all ripped.
He's always ripped.
And the dude's 38.
Yeah.
Okay, he's only a couple years younger than us. Well, a couple years younger than me. Yes.
My birthday's next Monday.
Woo-hoo. Happy birthday. What you doing for your birthday?
We're going to be at the Raiders game.
Yes. Raiders Cowboys Monday night.
And I'm going to be doing radio live from the hole.
Yes. So am I doing radio from San Diego? From Qualcomm?
Apparently. And the site of the first woman officiating an NFL
game?
Wow.
Mike's going to like that.
Make sure you send him a note about
let
that.
Let them know that
let
I will
let Jake
be there.
Know that that's going to be on the list.
I don't want to say crazy, but is this a desperate move by Pete Carroll?
I think it's a desperate move as to who's... I need to know that I've got three wide receivers that I can, you know, go to town with.
Right.
And I haven't seen anything that's blown me away where I go, I've got the guys I need. So, because, I mean, my question is, dude, you don't have the quarterback you need. Okay? So stop stockpiling wide receivers trying to find three that you could possibly use and focus again on making – and I think he's out of options at quarterback. Yeah. He's committed that Tavares is going to open at least this week's game. We'll see how it goes from there. But my bigger concern is who's going to get these guys a ball.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to be Flynn. I think at the end of the day.
It's got to be Matt Flynn at the end of the day, but it's going to start this weekend. When do they play? They play Saturday?
Which, speaking of which, I saw Charlie Whitehurst yesterday. He's a San Diego Charger.
You didn't know that he was there.
I didn't. I was like, that looks like Whitehurst. So I look at the roster. Like,
it's Charlie Whitehurst.
You know, I had to go over to the PR people. Like, how did you guys acquire Charlie Whitehurst? He was like, he was a free agent.
He came back.
Seattle didn't.
He wanted to come home.
Yeah, Seattle didn't.
They say you can't come home again. It's a lie.
You can.
It's a lie.
Anyways, here's funny. Last night,
I saw
Pete
John Robinson.
Carroll,
was John there yesterday?
I didn't see him. No, I didn't see him. Pete Carroll tweets to Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens, welcome to the land of the 12th man. See you in the morning, 8 a.m. meetings! ! To which I then tweeted back, in other words, T.O., go to sleep! Because it was like almost midnight.
Wow. But he lives out here on the coast, doesn't he?
Yeah,
on the West
he does.
Coast, so he
does.
Shouldn't have any time issues there. We've got
still,
really
it's midnight and you got 8 a.m. meetings. You should probably be in bed.
We got some sad news to report.
I don't.
Didn't want to. You didn't want to go there, but the sooner we go there, the sooner we can get away from it.
Yes. How's that? If you don't know by now, the
Andy Reid's oldest son,
eldest son of Andy Reid, Garrett Reid, was found dead at the Eagles training camp facilities just a few days ago. We don't know the extent of it. Now there is a report which I'm not gonna. I haven't investigated enough to know if it's true or not.
We don't have confirmation on it, but we can say this, that his history of drug abuse is extensive.
Yes.
He did time in prison for drugs. He and his younger brother, who's 27, both have got a very troubled background with regard to drugs.
Right.
And it's unfortunate. I mean, he did time, and he managed to get drugs smuggled in. Did drugs have anything to do with his death? We're going to say that it seems that it's a possibility that you shouldn't rule out immediately until you have cause to, because the kid was only 29 years old and he was working with the team. He was working with the strength and conditioning coaches there at Eagles camp. And
at the request of Andy Reid and his family, and for the sake of the family, we're just going to leave it at that. We send them our condolences, our thoughts and prayers are with Andy Reid and the family. It's just always a tough situation. No parent, and my mother's had to go through this, but I just feel no parent should ever have to bury their child. And it's doesn't matter how it happens.
I mean, it's amazing. It's just, the list of people that are coming to this is just ridiculous.
Coaches are
honestly
leaving their camps to go.
Bill Belichick's going to be there. Mickey Loomis is going to be there. He's gotten permission. Joe Vitt is going to be there. So you've got Pat Shermer. It's just.
I know Garrett of the Cowboys has reached out to Andy Reid as well as North Turner from the San Diego Chargers. It's a fraternity of brothers. All the coaches they hate each other when they're on the field on Sundays.
Yeah.
But they've been around. They know each other well, and
they know the sacrifices that being an NFL coach takes on the family. And it's family is very important to Andy Reid, but unfortunately, he's an NFL head coach, and that means his family will frequently take second seat to the team needs and things. And he is a father to everyone who's ever played for him. And it's unfortunate that he had to lose one of his own. It reminds me very much of when Tony Dungy lost his son.
Right.
And it's just it's horrible and it's sad. And it makes Stephen, there's always a part of me that feels I wish that these dads weren't NFL head coaches for a little bit. So that somehow their kids know that they've got their dads, period.
Right.
And because the sacrifices are so profound that you make to be an NFL head coach, and it takes a mom and a woman of unbelievable strength to be able to be both mom and dad most of the year to these young people. So our thoughts and our prayers do go out to the Reid family. The services were held at Lehigh University. Actually, that's where the Eagles train. The LDS Church in Broomall, Pennsylvania, is where the funeral was held.
Very sorry to hear that. Obviously, in this division that we're getting ready to talk about, pretty sad news. And that's going to be something that's going to linger.
Wasn't it last summer that Marty Morningwig's wife passed away?
I think
it was last year. So these in the middle of training camp again. And this is a team that is familiar with pain, unfortunately, very deep emotional pain, and it hits close to home again today as they will be attending the funeral for Andy Reid's eldest son, Garrett. And we just hope that his little brother can really take hold of this life lesson and make the best choices he can make for himself.
One final nugget, Jeffrey.
News, notes, and nuggets?
Thursday. And we will be there.
We will be there.
San Diego versus the Green Bay Packers. We're going to have a little bit of history. Not without its controversy, but a little bit of history.
History will be made in San Diego at Qualcomm Stadium at 5 p.m. kickoff.
A female referee will be a ref for the first time ever.
What?
That's correct. A female referee, Shannon Easton, will be the referee, not the head referee, but she will be a ref
in the crew
to officiate an NFL game in preseason between the Chargers and the Packers.
Coon and friends alert! Coon and friends alert! Alert! Seriously, all Coon friends to base! Alert, you guys! I'm seriously.
And those Coon friends, They should go to this game because Kuhn's going to see a lot of playing time.
Now, so. And I've got this to say. John Kuhn will see a lot of playing time. You have to be the likes of an Eric Cartman to think this is massive news. Okay? This is the logical progression of history in America.
Yes.
Where people that have been denied opportunities so often are going to be given the opportunity. And the hope is that at the end of the game, it will be the least talked about item. But right now, it's going to be the most talked about item because it's never happened before.
Yes, yes.
Once we get this in the rearview mirror, we can move on to a state of higher enlightenment for all of us,
yes,
where you have to be Eric Cartman to go, we've got a problem here, Houston.
Yeah, so it's going to happen. It's there. San Diego's hosting the Packers.
Now, Mike Pereira took issue and felt like that she shouldn't be there. Now, could you clarify former head of officiating Mike Pereira's comments?
Pereira, it's not that he does not feel that a woman should be an official in the NFL.
At all.
So for anybody who saw that, just the headline, and didn't read the article, that is not what Mike...
Don't be Eric Cartman. Yeah, don't pull your head out.
That's not what Mike Pereira is talking about. He feels that it is okay, and he sees and would love to see a woman officiate in the NFL. That is what he wants. This is his problem with Shan Easton becoming the first female official to work an NFL game. He feels that she's not earned that right. And the way he says it is that there is another official. Her name is Sarah Thomas. She's been an official for Conference USA and NCAA Division I college football since 2007. This particular official, Ms.
And
Thomas,
she's been vetted.
Has gone through the NFL, has gone through all of the training and proper training, and she is on the finalist list, mm-hmm, to become an NFL official. Mm-hmm. So this was going to happen. We were going to have a female official,
yes,
here in the NFL.
It's inevitable.
But because she's already gone through that process, she is a
part in the union
of the NFL referees union. So that means that she
when
is
the union's on strike. Guess what, girl?
She has to be on strike.
You're on strike.
So for her, she was going to be the one that got this great honor of being the first woman to officiate an NFL game, but it's not going to be hers. It's going to be Shannon Easton's, and I think Perfi says that he's wrong. The NFL is wrong. The honor should go to Sarah Thomas. She's worked hard for it. She has actually gone through the process. She's a finalist to be an NFL official, and the NFL is taking that right away from her. And I think that's what he does not like. He thinks that's wrong. So for everybody out there saying, Mike Perez, chauvinist pig, that's not it. He just...
It's our duty is to check all rumors, even if they're ridiculous.
He just thinks there's another official out there, Sarah Thomas, who should be the first female ref in the NFL. But you know what, Jeff? If you go on strike...
That's the downside of going on strike, is you're going to miss some opportunities. Steven, ESPN ran with a very high-profile story that we have not gotten confirmation from anybody. But what they have, here's the cast of characters. Ed Warder, Adam Schefter, Chris Mortensen. As a group, a pretty sharp group of guys.
Yeah.
And they're the ones who said that Vilma's year-long suspension could be reduced to 8 games. And that basically also head coach of the New Orleans Saints,
Sean Payton,
his suspension could be reduced.
When did they run with this?
This story, and this is weird, so this was August 6th. This is yesterday morning that this story came out.
Yes.
And it has been put into an archive section of ESPN.com, but it's still on their main page for NFL stories, and all I have heard is quite the opposite is true.
Yeah, Greg Aiello of NFL PR, who we've talked to a couple times, he actually said that
is completely not true.
That's not the
There's
case.
There's never been a discussion about that.
Right.
And yet it sits there at ESPN.com/NFL, right in the middle of the page. Sources, Vilma Saints can trim bands. And then when you click on the story, it says archive. Like we don't really want that story out there right now.
Right.
But it sure makes a great headline.
Yeah, it's he was offered a deal, and the NFL is pretty adamant. We've not offered anybody any deal of that kind, and I don't think so.
No,
I think that
it would be huge.
The offer was that if Vilma dropped the defamation suit against Commissioner
That's
Roger
the story.
Goodell, that they would reduce it. But Greg Aiello was pretty quick to say that is not the case. It is completely inaccurate. So, you know what? He's got nothing. Do you know how hard it is to prove a defamation suit?
Well, it helps to be a soothsayer.
It does. But the thing is that really was... I don't see how the commissioner, by suspending Vilma for a year, was... It was defamation. I don't see.
Well, that. The defamation comes from the statements that, you know, that he was part of an organized group of individuals that participated in a collective way to injure others in the league.
Vilma, did you give $10,000 to a pool to knock out somebody from a game?
No, I never did. Prove it to me. That's Jonathan Vilma's stance this whole time.
Okay, and that's fine, but we've got other individuals.
That's fine. You can't come
on
off
the record
half-cocked saying that I did, and by doing that, you're making it virtually impossible for me to ever do my job going forward because you are labeling me as someone who cheats someone who goes outside the rules.
What Vilma wants is he wants his accusers to come and face him.
He sure does.
That's what he wants.
And if I'm somebody who... I don't know, narked on Jonathan Vilma?
Yeah.
I don't want him to know it was me, because he's scary.
He did it. And
he's scary.
You know what? And if it goes to court, that's what's going to happen. That's exactly what's going to happen. Those accusers are going to have to get, I'm sure that they're getting ready to testify, and, they'll come out and be like, well, you know, we had this, you know, this money came out, and then what Vilma's going to say? Oh, okay, well, I guess they did have witnesses. I mean, what is he going to say other than I don't like those guys anymore because they narked on me? What does he wish to accomplish by continuing to take this to court?
He wants to intimidate the bejesus out of these guys, and that's the truth. So now, Steven, big, huge news. You ready?
Okay. Is it beep, beep, beep? Oh, that's not big, huge news. What happened?
Now, just imagine.
Oh, no.
No, don't imagine seahorses. Pat Shurmur announced that that Brandon Whedon is going to be the starting quarterback in Cleveland. And the room
How
said,
about telling me
tell me something,
something
I didn't know!
Really?
And Colt McCoy, of course, very upset. Feels like he didn't get his chance. He didn't get his due. But look, you know that your quarterback's really old when he's a rookie and everybody in the entire organization is looking at him to help get a rental car because he's the only one old enough to rent a car. So, of course, the time clock on Brandon Whedon. If Brandon Whedon washes out, there'll still be time for Colt McCoy. Okay? But Brandon Whedon, his window is now or never.
I'm actually...
It's now or never.
I'm taking a look here. Yeah. And let's see. Ooh, I'm trying
Seneca
to see
Wallace
where...
Seneca Wallace is there. Seneca Wallace may be older than Brandon Whedon.
No, I don't think so, actually. I think Wallace is like 27,
28. Okay, complete player card here. He is 32, Steve.
He's 32?
Seneca Wallace has been around a long time, bro.
Oh, I guess he was with Seattle for like 100 years.
Yeah, he was.
All right, hold on. Let's see.
I was pretty sure about that one.
Agreement. There's not really a team
for Colt
McCoy to go to. I'm looking at you know all the NFC.
I would like him to have a home in.
There is no place.
I spy with my little eye.
No place.
A home for Colt McCoy.
No place.
In no place. Wow.
No place.
I think he should be the backup quarterback in San Francisco.
Yeah, they're liking Kaepernick.
They're liking Colin Kaepernick, and we'll tell you all about him after we see him play on Friday, where he will get the majority of the snaps at their game.
But I'm looking at as
no, Steve
far
and I just went through all 32 teams.
Yeah,
so
I went through all
32
teams.
I can't even find a good backup.
Maybe if you go to Arizona and you compete against Skelton and Cobb.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they don't
right
they don't
now they're
do
saying
that.
Kevin Cobb's got the job, which seems really foolish, even though how badly he played this last weekend.
$5 says they play musical QBs again this year.
Oh, Lord.
In Arizona. $5. I got $5.
Stevie, I don't want to make that bet. I don't want that to be true. Ken Weisenhunt, you must pick a quarterback. You must commit to a quarterback.
Musical QBs.
Please don't
do
that.
I guarantee you.
Ken's a nice guy. He's a smart guy.
I'm not saying anything about how nice the guy is.
If that ends up being true, he's dumb. If you got two quarterbacks, you ain't got one quarterback.
Musical
That's all there is to it.
Weeks 5 or 6, we got a new one. And then about week 10, we'll change back to the other one. And then we'll end the season
with the
other one.
And we'll still win 7 games.
Yeah.
Because our defense rules. We got Larry Fitzgerald. Come on.
Musical QBs, baby.
Okay.
I'm telling you. Yeah, there really is no place for Cole to go. So he's stuck.
You know, this being this a Cleveland Brown need quarterback needs has kind of settled out for
it
now.
It has. It has.
I think
just
come
dead.
Week three, we just may have some dead. More QB needs around the league. But right now,
with injuries.
At this injuries, point, at yes. this moment, this is what we've got. Let's move on, Stephen.
We shall move on. That, you know, that was a lot there.
A lot of news. A lot happens in a week when training camps are all
open. Do you
want to
talk about Travis Henry getting reinstated after not playing in the league for 4 years?
Wait a minute. I
hee-haw.
Yeah, hee-haw. People have forgotten about Travis Henry.
I don't know how
unless you're one of his 11 children by 10
ouch.
Different women.
I don't know.
If you listen to the show.
You might be thinking Cromartie. Aren't you thinking, isn't that Cromartie?
Travis Henry holds the record.
Does
he's
he?
The record holder.
So that's who children Cromartie was aspiring to?
He was trying to be like Travis Henry until Henry went to jail. And then he said, you know what? Maybe I need a better role model.
So he hasn't played since 2007. That's when they, suspended him.
He had some problems because he was running cocaine.
But after 4 years, the commissioner said it's time to reinstate him. He's been activated off the reserve, suspended by commissioner list.
All of his former.
He remains a free agent, and good luck trying to find a job. All I need to do is point you to Tiki Barber, who tried to make a comeback and was unsuccessful.
Tiki Barber at least did real work instead of doing time for running drugs.
Okay.
I like that Rondé's still playing, dude.
Yeah.
Rondé is still playing.
And he's playing well.
And I remember talking to Josh about him because honestly, I did not expect the answer when I was talking to Freeman. And I said, Josh, is Rondé still there? He said, absolutely. First guy in, last guy out. And
oh, no. Is this true? This is another like.
Oh, no.
NFL on Fox has hired Mike March to serve as a game analyst for NFL on Fox. He's going to be an analyst now calling games.
He better be getting the E-games. And those are A-games get Buck and Aikman.
It is a possibility that Fox can have 7 games on any given Sunday. He better be 7.
That's the letter.
He better be
A,
on the
A, B, C, D, E is 5.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he better be 7th on
the
depth
chart.
FG.
He better be the G team, okay? Bring out the G team, and then he comes out. I do not want to hear what Mike Mark has to say.
Boring.
Ooh, on anything.
Boring. I've heard him talk. We like Mike. Personally,
great NFL offensive coordinator. Terrific. He can have an offensive rock.
Damn nice guy. But an announcer is supposed to pique my interest, bring me into the action, not put me into a coma.
Yeah. Let's see who they're pairing him up with. Did I nail it? Martz is going to be pairing with Fox number 7 crew.
High five. So he'll work 2 games a year. That's fine. And they'll be Rams games. I'm sorry to Rams fans, but they will be Rams games. And they'll be blacked out generally, so those won't really matter. Nobody will have
Pitts
a chance to see him.
On Fox's number 7 crew.
They won't say who his partner is as the number 7 guy because they don't want to have any defamation.
Someone
of character.
Named Pitts. That's all they're
look.
You can't make oranges be peaches. It's exactly what it is, and it doesn't change, and it will never change.
Oh, my God, I can't believe they actually wrote this on NFL.com. Jeffy says that means that Mars will most likely log time covering the flock of bottom feeders in the NFL, including his old team, the Rams.
I just said that.
I know, but
they said that. Of course they did. Only they said flock of bottom feeders, probably.
Yes, they did say.
Including
what did I say?
Flock of bottom feeders.
I'm just so excited.
Oh.
Okay,
and
I'm sorry.
Remember, a lot of those Rams games are blacked out, so really no one's going to be subjected to him, okay?
Let's start with the Dallas Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys?
Man, I tell you what. I know you had your issues. I know you had your issues.
Wait, all I got to say is, you know, Steven, guess how many people were at last night's Oakland A's home game?
Oakland A's home game, 18,000.
You're a little high. It was about the same number as was at Dallas Cowboys camp
12,
on Sunday.
12,000?
There's 13.
13,000 at
a professional
baseball game
that is in the playoffs. If the season ended today, they would be in the playoffs, the Oakland A's.
And a
blue
and white scrimmage.
A practice. of an NFL team Cowboys, drew the same number of fans.
12,500 roughly. Right.
Much better seats in Oakland. You could actually see the action. Most of the people in Oxnard could not see the action.
Yes.
How many people told you to get down so they could see?
None.
Nobody told you to get down?
Because I'm a big, dark, big guy. You know,
they're so not they gonna... just pick on the white guy? Dude, get down. Get down. Sit down. You're a part of the media. You are the problem. I heard that.
Really?
Yes, you are the problem.
Wow.
Like, you don't even know me.
Yeah.
I am the problem.
I'm you, with a better seat.
And that pisses them off. I'm the 1%, Steven. And in this case, we were the 1% because we were inside the fence.
Right.
And there was 12,500 people on the outside of the fence.
That was a lot of people.
Jerry Jones didn't apologize, but he came just short of apologizing in his post-game remarks to those of us who gathered around for his... Do you realize he probably does this every day of his life? He just holds court.
Just whenever he wants.
Jerry just starts talking, and the next thing you know, there's 12 reporters around him.
Well, that's the thing. A local Dallas reporter, because I recognized him, pulled him aside to ask
Jerry
him a question,
just got a
put
quick
a
question.
Microphone in front of him, and the next thing you know, I'm like, Jerry's got a microphone in front of him? We're there. Boom!
Wait, where's my whoosh sound? Here's.
And even I got it. I got to ask him about London. Yeah. So, I don't think we've ever seen the Dallas Cowboys come.
Yeah,
he didn't say that.
He's been so clear
about
that.
And he's been really good about saying the right
London's
things.
London's a terrific city, and London is fully capable of hosting an NFL team.
Yes.
London is the city that is prepared to have an NFL team.
Yes.
They're probably the only city, outside maybe Mexico City, that is ready to have an NFL team.
You're basically stealing the whole
I'm just being Mr. Jones.
Yeah.
Just being Mr. Jones. That's what he said.
He
didn't say... Dallas will never go or participate in any way.
No.
It is strongly inferred when you build a billion-dollar stadium that you really need to, you know, pay the utility bills on.
Yes. He may be forced to go as an away team. He's not going as a home team. He's not giving up a home game. But he may have to go as an away team.
All the other owners know that's a game I sell out. That's actually most teams have varied pricing structures, and so games against the Cowboys, games against the Raiders, they charge more.
Individual game tickets
you
for
have
Cowboys,
to buy multiple
you have to buy
games.
Yes, you have to buy a set,
another game,
another two games actually.
In the case of the Chargers, the Raiders, you have to buy two more games if you want the Raiders.
Yes, and same with the Cowboys, you got to buy two more. Two more. Usually, other teams
and
are like.
Why?
You have to buy.
Because you will.
You will.
Thank you very much.
You will.
We've got a gun to your head. You're going to do whatever we say. Thank you. Dallas Cowboys, what I loved about Jerry being there just a few days ago was Jerry spent most of his time up in the scaffolding with the 22 camera.
Yes.
He was taking in everything.
Yeah.
He was concerned about the crowds and that everyone was having a nice time. He wants everyone to have a nice time. Yeah. He's made a commitment to Oxnard. I suspect they're going to put in some bigger bleachers.
Probably.
And they'll probably cut into that golf course a little bit and just put some bleachers up on the east side. I think that would be a good thing. But they need to be able to seat regularly 6,000 or 7,000 people. They need to seat them and then have standing room for another 3,000 or so for regular. And then when you have crazy days like Sunday, you're just going to tell people go out and spend money at the little stores, the team stores.
Yeah.
Because it was, or you're going to rotate people through on a halves or something, but there's the passion for the NFL. I'm not even going to say for the Cowboys, but for the NFL and the Cowboys in this case. The passion out here in Southern California is it cannot be denied. We had Rob Lowe there. Steven got a video of Rob Lowe saying, I have to come here because LA doesn't have a team.
Yeah.
That was priceless.
And I find out from Trisha after I showed her the video, he's a huge Colts fan.
Wow.
Rob Lowe.
Didn't see him in Indy.
We didn't. But
saw him in Oxnard, though.
Well, but how weird is it? You know who Rob Lowe wanted to meet and who he actually had? Rob Lowe was being walked around by PR staff, and he said, can I meet Dez Bryant? I want to just, you know.
And Dez ain't talking to anybody right now.
He ain't talking to anybody. But you know what? He was the nicest I'm not talking to you guy I've ever seen in the NFL.
He signed autographs.
He did sign autographs.
But he wouldn't talk to the press.
But he wouldn't talk.
And that's fine.
But you know how most guys just run right by you? Like,
no comment. No comment.
He's like, he put his hand on my shoulder. He's like, I really can't talk to you guys right now.
That's as polite as it gets.
How cool is that?
A guy clearly with violent issues. He touched you, didn't he, Steven?
He
touched you. You should sue him.
You know what? I'm talking to Jerry.
There
about
you go.
That.
I just want a little settlement. $2 million. I won't say a word about Dez touching me.
And right next to
me, he touched me. Mommy, he touched me.
Right next to me was a female reporter, and he stopped and he told her that he didn't touch her, but he told her the exact same thing.
He's really playing it perfectly. He really touches only guys. Oh my gosh, he so gets it.
I really can't talk to you right now. And he took off. And, you know, it's like most guys, they would just walk by you like you're not even there.
Exactly. They just get a glassy-eyed look that they're trained to put on. Exactly. And they don't even see. You're not even there.
Yeah.
You think you're standing there, but you're not.
That's how Philip Rivers was in the locker room yesterday.
Really?
He tried not to look at me.
Stevie, you got to get Philip before he gets to the locker room.
No. But it was okay because I was there with the PR staff had brought me into the locker room to talk with Floyd and talk to KO Spikes.
Okay.
And I didn't tell him that I wanted to talk to Philip Rivers because, you know.
But you obviously want to talk to Philip.
But I always want to talk to Philip Rivers.
I talked to Philip, but I got him before he got to the locker room.
All right. So. I'm standing there waiting for Michael Floyd to come out of the shower. And Philip knows this.
There's a microphone in the shower?
Yes, exactly. And
how the microphone ever got in the shower is beyond
me. Shower. And so I'm waiting there, and Philip's just, he's changed, and he's kind of just, you know, milling around. I think he was waiting for Antonio Gates to talk to Gates. And
did he go glassy-eyed on you?
He was doing it. And so.
It's kind of fun. Practice it right now, not if you're driving. But practice it right now. Look in the mirror if you can, and it's a look of you know what? I'm the only person in this entire building right now. There's nobody else here. I am by myself.
Yeah. He eventually, you know, because I forced him, I kept looking at him. You will look at me, Phil. You will acknowledge me, Philip. Acknowledge me. And he did. He was like, "Hey, man." I was like, "Hey, Philip, how's it going?" He's like, "I'm pretty good. I'm a little tired right now. It was hot out there today." And it was hot out there.
It wasn't as hot as it was.
No,
up here.
No, it wasn't. But it was still high 80s.
Yeah, which for San Diego,
and high
80s
is hot, dude. Yeah. So, anyways, about the Cowboys, I think right now, you know, you never want to see a team get injured during training camp.
Right.
I am so happy that all of this nonsense is happening right now before preseason.
We played with Nick and Jordan in the car on the drive after we left Oxnard and the training facility there. We played the What Did We Learn?
Yes.
And I wish we could just do this for every team. It would be really nice to be able to spend the time with the teams. So that you just say, what did we learn? And this gives us the best concise way to talk about any given team. They got to have the eyeball test. Didi's like, why are you going to San Diego yesterday? I said, I've got to see them. I saw them 2 weeks ago. I've got to see them now. I've got to see what's changed. There's the eyeball test. And no amount of looking at online, and thank God that the teams are streaming most of their practices online, but you've got to see them up close and personal. There's nothing that replaces that, the eyeball test. What did I see with Dallas? I saw that they still have serious questions with wide receiver 3. They tried a number of guys, some of whom made spectacular catches, most of whom also dropped spectacularly simple balls. So they still got problems there at wide receiver 3.
Yeah, but I gotta put up that roster because that one kid is.
I saw a couple kids that I think will be really good someday, but you're not ready for prime time yet. And I saw that nothing better happened to Tony Romo.
Yeah, the second string offense.
Let's just be honest. That's what I learned about the Dallas Cowboys.
Second string offense.
When Tony's in there?
When Kyle Orton pitches the ball to the running back and it hits him in the helmet, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
That's on Orton. That's on nobody else but Orton.
We saw that.
And then when Stephen McGee, the third string quarterback, gets under center.
Stephen McGee.
And the center quarterback exchange isn't handled properly. You don't want those guys coming.
We didn't see any center handoff problems with Tony.
With Romo. No.
That was a huge problem last year.
Yeah, it was. That's good.
Especially after you drive 90 yards.
Guy I want to point out, wide receiver Andre Holmes, number 15.
Yes.
That kid is
special
tall.
Kid. Special.
Skinny
as a rail. But he's got great hands.
And if he can...
Especially in the red zone.
Line up in the
red zone.
When he kept going to that corner.
That post route, yep. You're right. The out route.
Yes.
In the corner.
And Brandon Carr,
mm-hmm.
cornerback that they
mm-hmm.
acquired from Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
That dude's going to make all the difference in the world in that secondary.
Secondary looks better.
Yes.
So, again, questions we had about Dallas Cowboys, we've learned some of them are legit. Some of them have been addressed.
Yes.
Some of them, it's still a work in progress. You still
got
a month.
Right now, their biggest problem, if you ask me what their biggest problem is with the Dallas Cowboys, it's going to be. No, it's their offensive line. because they are banged up. We didn't see what the starting offensive line is going to be for the Cowboys.
Because they weren't
there. Exactly. They're all they in were the hurt. Locker room getting worked on.
Yeah.
So we didn't see any of that. And they're going to need to address that.
And somehow. They have to protect Tony. That's all there's to it.
I am actually a little upset that I didn't ask Jerry Jones if they would contemplate bringing in a T.O. or a Plasko Burress.
If a T.O. were available, which he now
was
isn't.
At the time.
Exactly.
He was at the time.
Burress is still out there.
Just
and
to see what he would say.
Why do you, Stephen, this is off topic, but I have to ask it.
Money.
Stephen's doing the money thing.
Money.
Plax wants too much money?
Yep.
That's the only thing that makes any sense because...
He doesn't want just a one-year minimum rookie,
take a league minimum contract for a veteran.
It's like $1.4 million.
You can tell me you can't use $1.4 million? You have some child support payments that are overdue?
Plax has that, though.
Plax is in
that category, too. Dude. I thought he was still married.
You give young guys lots of money and travel.
Yeah.
And bad things are going to happen.
I thought he was married with a child.
Yeah.
And he still has other children.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Remember that was one of the things that came down early was that these women kind of met. It's like, yeah, this is my wife. This is my girlfriend. And this is my stepchild. And this is my other child. And maybe they could become friends.
No, that's not good.
I saw the Modern Family again where... The little white kid. I've always wanted a niece / sister. They said, "Have you?" He's like,
niece / sister.
It's when when Claire and Mitch and Cam were looking to make a baby together.
Oh yeah,
I always wanted a niece / sister. Did you? That's the drunken episode where the four of them go out to dinner and they're lamenting that they can't have another child and it's so funny. Anyways, Modern Family's coming up in a few weeks.
I can't wait. Felix Jones was back at camp and looked like but you know that role is DeMarco Murray's.
DeMarco Murray will rush for 1,200 yards this season. Period. Full stop. You know me, Stephen, Mr. Conservative.
Yeah, but
always.
He almost had that, and he didn't play for half the season.
Yeah, he doesn't need a lot of time or a lot of touches to do that.
If he stays
to you.
Healthy, he's going to do some.
Forget about it. Next team, Stephen, in the NFC
New York
East.
Giants.
Gigantes, sorry, world champion. World champion New York Giants.
Yes, I'm sorry. You have to say Super Bowl champion New York Giants. That's the last time I'll say it now. So whenever we introduce the Giants from around, you have to do it.
I'm looking forward to how you're not going to say RG3, which you said you weren't going to.
I don't know how I'm
going to
do the show here in a little bit.
Hakeem Nicks seems to be coming along from his foot surgery, thankfully, and is still on target for week one. That's good news. But Stephen catches up with this Super Bowl team that we last saw in Indianapolis.
Well, it's another team that's also had to deal with injury bug. And as a matter of fact, when we get through, I think the only team that has not had to deal severely with the injury bug so far is the Washington Redskins.
The Redskins.
When we get to the Eagles, that we'll talk about some of their injuries as well. But as you said, Nicks is just for the first time today started to run routes on that broken foot that he suffered. And they've had some problems on the defense side of the
Terrell
ball.
Terrell Thomas aggravated
again. I felt so bad for that kid.
See, Stephen, you say you can't talk about these, but we know these kids and they're good guys.
Right? Yeah.
This Giants team is full of good guys.
No, I didn't say that. I can talk about the Giants. I just don't want to introduce them as the Super Bowl champion. New
but
York
you
Giants.
Also said, you know, this is a show you look forward to least. And
yes.
It's like, come
it
on.
Is because
this Giants. No, you've got to say nice things about these teams.
What?
Clarify.
No, not about that.
Clarify.
Just clarify. Because nobody believes anything I say about these four teams, pretty much. I can't say anything. I can't say anything good.
He's a lover.
I can't say anything bad.
I can't take anything he says for worth a damn.
Yes.
And when he talks about the other teams, he's a hater.
Right.
So I can't take anything he says seriously.
Yes.
That puts you in a precarious position.
It does put me in a very interesting position. So as a matter of fact, I don't like any of the teams in this division. Now, I'm moving to the NFC South.
Because that's our next show?
Over
two shows.
Where I am starting to fall in love with Carolina and Cam Newton.
Sure.
And Tampa Bay. And
we love
Josh
Tampa
Freeman
Bay.
And New Orleans. And
Matty Ice.
And
we love what's going on in Atlanta, sort of, kind of.
In Atlanta. They're like the stepchild of that division.
They are, but you know what? That whole division's good.
You know what? It's funny because Atlanta...
I'm an NFC homer these days.
Everyone's going to be talking Cam Newton, and Drew Brees, and what the Saints are going through. Atlanta's loving this right now.
They are.
They're like, oh, we'll be under the radar. We good.
Arthur Blank says, we like this role. We'll take this role. We'll stay in this role. But we're on the Giants.
Back to the Terrell New York Thomas, Giants, and keeping
officially
up with the
diagnosed
Giants.
With a stretched and aggravated ACL, could be sidelined 3 to 5 weeks.
Here's the unfortunate thing for the Giants. And stay with me, people, especially you Giants fans. The unfortunate thing is, they're Super Bowl champs. They're going to not have the luxury of playing a easier schedule. They're going to play a number one schedule. And they're going to have a big old target on their back, Jeff.
That says Super Bowl champion. Yeah,
exactly. You know what happens when you're the Super Bowl champion? Everybody brings their A game. We're going to knock. Oh, you Super Bowl champion? Take this. Pound.
You think you're so cool? And Eli says, I never said I was that cool. My brother's the one who's cool. I'm not the cool one. Yeah, that's more rings than him, but come on, I'm still aw shucks Eli.
You know, they had their safety, Tyler Sash, suspended for 4 games because of violation with performance-enhancing drugs. That's not good. So they're having some issues. The thing is that there's a lot of stability on this team.
There's a ton.
As far as
where
the coaching
staff. Thank you. Starts at the top.
As far as their player personnel.
Yes.
You know, it's we're bringing back a whole lot of people.
Yes.
Yeah, we lost some people, but not.
This is a great team. The guys they lost Mario Manningham?
Right.
To San Francisco.
Third wide receiver to
and
the
it's
Niners.
Like, you know what?
They lost Brandon Jacobs. They weren't using him all that much anyways
exactly.
to begin with.
You guys have actually clarified what you're doing as a team. Now, mind you, you only won 9 games.
Yes.
And you won the division with those 9 games. But that first place, that's going to get you a really tough schedule.
It is.
So not only are you in one of the best divisions in football as far as competitiveness, not pure quality, but I'd say competitiveness, you are going to play the first place teams. You're going to play the 49ers again.
Yep.
You're going to play the Pittsburgh Steelers again. You're going to play the Green Bay Packers again. You're going to play the New Orleans Saints again. You get the first place schedule. Ta-da!
Now, well, they're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers because they're playing everybody in that division. The East this year
you're right.
gets
the Ravens
the AFC.
won the division.
They get the AFC North this year.
Which is really tough.
You got
except
Ravens.
Except for the Browns.
You got Baltimore. You got Cincinnati. And you got Pittsburgh. And you got Cleveland. I don't know. Cleveland. I don't know anything about Cleveland. I'm not saying anything about Cleveland this year.
Except for Randy Lerner's not the owner anymore and everyone's happy. And Mike Holmgren's days are numbered. We covered that.
I keep hearing Randy Lerner. I keep hearing, you got a friend in me. But that's Randy Newman.
Randy Newman.
Okay.
Not known to be Randy
not
Lerner.
To be the millionaire owner. He's a billionaire. Did you know Lerner owns Aston Villa?
Yeah.
Football club?
Okay, maybe.
Just thought you should know that.
That's one of the reasons he let go of the Browns is his real interest is Aston
yes.
Villa.
But he got like $1 billion.
He got. As I posted on Facebook, if a poor NFL team is worth $1 billion, what the hell is a good team
wait a
worth?
Minute, wait a minute. That's not the whole worth. That's only 70%. That's
no,
70%.
No, that's broken into two payments. There is a $750 million payment now
right.
and a $250 million payment coming, forthcoming.
And that's for the rest of
the remainder of the
okay.
team. Right.
So it's $1 billion.
It's a billion.
Okay, because I thought I was like $1 billion for 70%.
No.
Okay, that's for the whole team.
Yeah.
All right.
And, yeah, so what is a good team worth? My goodness gracious sakes alive.
Here's
what
little...
is a Dallas Cowboys team worth that could put 12,500 people in a little tiny parking lot in Oxnard, California, and draw better than an Oakland A's game regular season that's going to the playoffs.
That's pretty crazy. But here's the thing about the Cleveland Browns. The new owner has them. Did you know that he owns a minority interest in the Pittsburgh Steelers?
You would say he has owned a minority because
yes.
he has to release that.
Yeah, he hasn't released it yet.
But he's going
but he's
to.
Gonna
he
have
has to.
To.
Yeah. I said he's a Steelers guy. A lot of people associate him with blah, 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 what part of the country? Somewhere in the South. And I'm like, well, he's actually owns
well, he's
part of the
Tennessee
Steelers.
Guy.
There you go, the Titans. That's still the South. And so I'm going to get emails
the
about
South
that.
The South will rise
I'm,
again,
I'm
going to
get emails. You know, you just can't say that Tennessee's in the South because that could be argued without getting
right.
an email.
Yes.
You just can't.
All right, so they've got the AFC
Giants are going to be fine.
Oh.
Giants can be fine.
Look at the
schedule. Eli took a step last year. I am looking at the schedule, and it is probably the most – I don't know this for a fact, but it could be the most difficult schedule in the NFL.
It's going to be tough.
Their easy games come out of the gate. Dallas, I'm not saying easy, but then Tampa Bay, Carolina. And then you got Cleveland. And then you got Cleveland week five. So it's like the front end of their schedule. Yeah, but then
– Pittsburgh, Cincinnati.
You got to give them Washington. You got to give them Washington.
Washington beat them twice last year. Why do you got to give them Washington?
Because it's a totally different team now.
Okay. Washington beat them twice last year. Nobody expected anything from Washington.
No. Washington was a fiasco.
That middle right there, at San Francisco, host the Redskins, at Dallas, host Pittsburgh, at Cincinnati. That's five games right before
your bye. Then you get a rest. Then you get the Packers and those same Washington Redskins again.
And then the Saints. Then Atlanta.
And the Saints, oh, by the way, with their real interim coach back, Joe Vitt's back at that point.
That's true. And Jeffrey, I don't know if you saw my tweet after the Hall of Fame game, but who thinks the Saints are going to struggle now when their first string O comes out?
Yeah,
10 marches, plays, 90 77 yards.
Yeah, boom, touchdown. We're
Let's
done.
Let's go sit down on the bench.
We're out.
How was that? How was that, bitches?
They
Am
are,
I allowed to say that on there?
You just
Is
did.
That FCC approved? I'm sorry if it's not.
I heard.
Well, they say it on TV, so it should be okay.
They say the B in apartment three.
That's true. Sorry. But that's literally how I felt from watching that first drive from the Saints. Like, you guys go ahead and say all you want. We're going to be all right.
And I really do think they're going to be all right. I think this is a really, really good football team, and I think that I think Eli took the step. You can't spell elite without Eli. Well, you know what? He actually stepped up to the plate there, and he's somebody that should be absolutely targeted as a top 12 quarterback in fantasy football. He should.
What
be
if
somebody
you spell elite? A L I E T E.
Alite.
Yes. I like it.
You're welcome to spell it however you'd like.
I don't like that thing.
We're running out of time, friend.
No, we're not.
So we've got to get on to the Philadelphia Eagles. The dream remade. Eagles. Really good football. Really, really good football. Mm-hmm. Now this year we're playing for coach. Last year we played for morning wig. And look, Luis Castillo now has another year as this offensive genius who's managing the defense.
Yes.
So Luis Castillo, he seems to have gotten a clue, and this team's playing
pretty shaky last year.
It was very susceptible,
and it made stout.
It was, but when your head coach is an offensive guy, you got a learning curve in front of you. And you've got all of these strong players with strong personalities who you're supposed to be managing while you're trying to learn how to do your job. That's going to stink up the place and result in their record of what? 7-9, 8-8? How'd they end up?
They wound up 8-8.
8-8. There you go. And how'd they win 8 games? It's a miracle, honestly. Right, yeah. Steven?
Well,
we're not being mean. We're just calling it as I predicted it would be, and it came true. This was a mediocre team.
We do have to give you props because nobody in their right mind, except for you. So I don't know if you were in your right mind or not, but nobody except for you said the Eagles were not going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
You were the only one that I knew
eight.
That the Eagles were not going to be that good. There's a lot of talk right now. They're going to have some struggles. And you were the only one. I didn't even believe it. I had them second in the division. With like 10 wins, I think. So it was pretty crazy.
I think Michael Vick, what got to me was two seasons ago, at the end of the season, people were figuring out how to get to Michael Vick. And that if you flush him to his weak side, he doesn't throw nearly as well. And you can contain him. And I still think a lot of those things have to be proven. Nobody in the NFL is working harder right now than Michael Vick. Okay, I saw the Jaws has his little – he's taken Gruden's little – spiel of come hang out with me and have fun. And so Ron Jaworski's now doing that. And I saw his piece with Michael Vick where they had 30 minutes together. And it was terrific because you had a former Eagles quarterback with the current Eagles quarterback and they were going over the things and the reads. And what do you do when you come? What's the first thing you do when you come out of the huddle? And he went through and
Michael Vick is sharp. Problem with the Philadelphia Eagles. Because Michael Vick is a quarterback. Because you have to go into the season. You have to go into the season thinking my quarterback's going to get hurt.
Yep.
Because he's gotten hurt the last several years.
Yep.
Doing what he does.
Steven, okay? You and I have stood next to Michael Vick, and what's the first thing that strikes you about Michael Vick when you're standing next to him?
He's not thick.
Wow, you're small. That's the first thing that... I'm not parsing words here, Steven. Yeah, yeah. You're skinny and you're short.
Yes.
And so is Matt Ryan, okay? Although Matt Ryan's taller.
Yes.
But you're skinny. I can't believe you don't have more meat on you. And I say, well, that's why I'm so fast. Well, you know, Ben Roethlisberger's pretty fast, too. And he's a tree.
Yeah.
So Mike Vick is...
Cam Newton is a tree.
Cam Newton. Oh, my
and
gosh.
He's pretty fast.
Can we just take a moment to appreciate Cam Newton and deepen our man crush? All right.
I don't have man crushes, but that's okay.
I'm not afraid. But you've got, where Steven's going is you got Mike freaking Kafka behind you.
Mike freaking Kafka. That's what you're going to bank your season on, Philadelphia, when Mike Vick takes off and he scrambles down for his 50-yard run and he gets
crushed by a linebacker. Mr. President, he doesn't slide.
Yeah, he doesn't slide, and a linebacker crushes him, and he's got broken ribs or bruised ribs, and he can't play for three games. You've got to go into those three games with Mike freaking Kafka. That's what you're telling me.
Cannot win. Can't play with them. Can't coach with them. Can't do it. Won't do it.
That's where I'm afraid for the Philadelphia Eagles.
For good reason. They are thin at quarterback, and that's the wrong place to be thin when you're as talented a group as this, Steven. And I really I think that this Eagles team is sitting right where they want to be for a good long run in the postseason should they be able to navigate the regular season and stay healthy, because this is clearly top to bottom, possibly the most talented team in the NFL. How's that?
That's that.
Am I wrong? It's just far as individual players?
I don't know.
A roster?
There's some teams out there that are pretty freaking talented.
Yeah, there's the Green Bay Packers we're going to see on Thursday. And by the way,
the much ballyhooed Vincent Jackson leaving San Diego, that's an overrated statement.
Supposedly he looks fabulous in Tampa Bay,
He
though.
May look fabulous, but Meacham,
throws to
Floyd,
whomever. Robert Meacham.
Gates, and Meacham, first of all, I undersold Meacham.
Wow, you're Drew Brees, but you're taller.
I undersold Meacham. Man,
you did.
Dude looked awesome.
Meacham's
in camp yesterday.
He's a beast.
And it's
beast.
Like, oh, man, who are you going to cover now?
Yeah,
take your poison.
Look,
you're going to cover the tall Floyd?
Is
all right,
it a
Meacham.
Loss to lose Vincent Jackson? Yes.
Yes.
Is Robert Meacham going to be a satisfactory replacement? Hell yes.
And here's the thing. Meacham was with the Saints where they threw the 100 guys.
Yeah.
It's going to be him, Floyd, and
when
Gates.
When you know you're getting the ball instead of you don't know when you turn around if the ball's coming to you,
yeah.
It makes it a lot easier. The ball's coming my way. If it's a deep route, guess where the ball's going? It's going to Robert. That's San Diego we're talking about right now.
Yeah, go back to the
Eagles. Philadelphia Eagles.
Because I was making the point.
We're talking about Jeremy Maclin.
Talented,
and we're talking about Deshaun.
Yeah, they're pretty talented wide receivers in other places.
You got Shady McCoy. You've got a sick good team, dude. You've got Dominic Rogers Cromartie. You got Namdi.
Their problem last year was they
Ryan
didn't know how
Rowe.
To distribute that football, though.
D'Amico Ryans.
They didn't know how to distribute the football.
Throwing it?
Just distributing it.
Oh, well, you distribute. I was giving you an idea of how to distribute it. One of them would be to throw it.
Yes.
Another one
but
would be to hand it off.
Their run-pass ratio was off. It was crazy weird. Some games they threw like 500 passes and only ran it twice. Other games they ran it 50 times and only threw it 25 times. It's some craziness there that they're going to have to find a balance. And I don't know if Andy Reid has to give up the duties to somebody else. As far as offensive play calls, but it's got to get more stabilized. Offensive side of the ball for the Eagles.
Okay, I think everything else is there.
With that team in our nation's capital, with the quarterback I will not be talking about, the Washington Redskins. Can you please talk about their quarterback real quick so that we can move on to other parts of the Redskins?
Robert Griffin could be the second coming of Cam Newton.
I'm not going there yet.
I said could be.
I like the kid.
What's problematic about couching your words and hedging your bet?
Couching your words.
Not Tim Couch. Don't be a loose tangent on me.
Okay.
I'm not
tangenting.
Thank you.
I'm thinking
I said
here,
could be the second coming of Cam Newton.
Remember Cam Newton?
He was all interested in being a celebrity.
And remember we were like, you know,
we're making fun of him.
We were like, it's Cam Newton, man. Come on, dude.
Yes.
And then he plays like, booyah! And
what do you think of me now, fool?
And now you're talking about what's his dude's name again?
Who?
The quarterback for the Washington Redskins. You're not going to give it to me. That guy. You're horrible.
I'm horrible. I'm the one who can say his name.
Yeah, well,
you're the one who won't. Robert Griffin.
Thank you. And he has the ability to even give you 2/3 of the season Cam gave you last year. You better watch out for the Washington Redskins. It's not going to be a joke.
Dangerous.
Okay, it's going to be pretty.
Santana Moss, but Pierre Garçon's now in the fold there.
You got to have some kind of running game.
Okay, I'm being sarcasm here.
Okay. You are sarcasm. Jeff is sarcasm.
Tim Hightower has been named the number one running back.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
Are you for reals?
Oh, I am for reals.
You're being sarcasm.
I'm being sarcasm because we're talking about the Washington Redskins running backs. So whomever it is that Shanny happens to like today is so. In fact, the surest way to make sure you're not the starter
is to be named the starter.
Yeah. I don't know why Shanny does this. I don't know.
He's got Roy Helu Jr.
Roy Helu is, I think, a terrific running back. Timmy Hightower is a good running back. I even think Evan Royster is a good running back. But you know what? He's going to give the ball to the guy that basically kisses his butt the right way on any given day.
Yeah.
And then when he fumbles, which running backs fumble? Just got a news flash for you there, Mike. I know you're a Hall of Fame caliber coach, but running backs will drop the ball occasionally. Then you bench him, and he gets into your doghouse, and you hate him until the next guy fumbles.
Yeah.
Stop it!
Where was the Washington Redskin as far as running the ball last season?
Oh, as far as their rankings?
Yeah.
I can't tell you, but I could tell you really quickly here. Because I am in the middle of Eagles land right now still.
Did they have anybody rush?
Washington Redskins, here we go. They finished in rushing 25th, Stephen. 100.9 yards per game. Their top rusher was Roy Helu.
640
yards. Evan Royster, 328. And Hightower would have been in that number had he stayed healthy for the entire season.
Look, Cam Newton didn't have much of a running game, but he at least had D'Angelo Williams put up about 900 yards.
Played balls out.
Okay.
He was awesome.
And that was a combination with he was splitting time with Stewart.
Yes,
who also put up another
another 700 yards. 760
yards, something like that, 760 yards. So that's
if you
1,500
do that,
yards between your two running backs.
If you get that from a split running back set, good for you.
Yes.
No problem. No complaining here. Let's go to the Kansas City Chiefs. I felt like we shorted them in their running department, Stephen. Jamal Charles and Dexter McCluster. Who's the other running back there that's so good? The Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, yeah, Jamal Charles. They brought in
But they had two running backs who were really good last year.
Yeah, and then they brought in Benson this year.
It worked.
Right.
Okay? You can do it if they're both studs.
Well, here's what I'm saying about the Washington Redskins quarterback again one more time, please.
What does his name start with?
R.
Robert Griffin III, yes. You must be thinking.
Okay, yes. So that quarterback there, what I'm saying about it, if you want to compare him to Cam Newton, he's going to have a set of running backs that could put up 1,500 yards like Stewart and Williams did for Cam Newton last year.
That permits you to have the options of running the ball yourself
or
distributing the ball.
That's Cam Newton. You can't. For all the greatness that Cam Newton was last year,
he had some help.
He had some running backs that put up 1,500 yards between the two of them.
One of them's going to the Hall of Fame, if you ask me. I mean, honestly, so, that's how good.
I don't know if the Redskins, Helu and Hightower and anybody else that Shanahan says, I think I like this running back today, can put up those kind of numbers to help out the quarterback there in D.C.
Now, what's the second letter of his first name?
Oh.
So Roe. Somebody Roe.
Anyways, that's the Washington Redskins. I think if they find a running game, a consistent running game, their offense is going to be formidable. Although you do have to, you know, take a look at the wide receiving core.
It's not bad.
But it's not impressive.
No.
I mean, you brought in You brought in Josh Morgan. Remember, we were liking Josh Morgan a lot when he was in San Francisco before he got injured.
I predicted that Josh Morgan would be a great wide receiver.
Don't predict about any players because they tend to get hurt after you tell them they're going to be great.
Mm, We don't have a lot of evidence of that. No, we don't.
Okay. Josh Morgan, he's one right there. He broke his leg
hamstring,
and missed the season.
Doubtful for August 9th at Buffalo.
But when he gets on the field, but
Anthony Armstrong, like
I
a lot.
I mean, literally, the meat of their wide receiving core is a 12-year veteran in Santana Moss.
And I think Pierre Garçon gives him a legitimate threat. If he can get on the same page with Robert, I think that they've got a good chance.
Yeah.
And they are not thin at backup quarterback because Grossman only became gross after about 4 or 5 games last year.
And he is kind of gross, man.
He is, but he played competently for a while, and then they got Kirk Cousins there. So I think that they're at least set at the depth. And I think their defense, frankly, was becoming one of the more feared defenses in the NFL.
Well, you know, they you know, their meat, their young guys, Arakpo, obviously centered that team. They have a decent kicker in Graham Gano, although they did bring in Neil Rackers to compete with him. So it's going to be very interesting. I think that, unfortunately, and people are not going to like to hear this, but I still think this is the weakest team in the division.
Okay, Steven, I will give you that this is the weakest team in a strong division.
Yes. I'm not saying they're the weakest team in the league.
They're not the Cleveland Browns.
In the conference.
Now, to say that the Cleveland Browns are the weakest team in a strong division is true, but they are a horrible team in a strong division. Okay?
Here's the difference, the Washington Redskins are not a horrible team.
Here's
the difference between Washington and Cleveland. Cleveland, you can argue, they're the weakest team in the conference. You can't say that about Washington.
Oh, no.
You can only say that about their division. They're the weakest team in the division.
No.
You can't say they're the weakest team in the conference.
You got Minnesota.
You can say that about Cleveland.
Tampa Bay, the Rams. You've got a lot of teams you can say.
Yes.
But you know what? The NFC does rule the day. The NFC is getting bigger. It's trading places. The pendulum swings back and forth. We've been at this game long enough. You tell me about this linebacking core, who it is that you don't love, though. Ryan Kerrigan, London Fletcher,
Arakpo,
Perry Riley,
Fletcher,
Brian Arakpo. This is a scary group of linebackers that will eat you.
They don't want to eat me.
And then D'Angelo Hall at corner, Josh Wilson, Brandon Merriweather at safety, Tanar Jackson, this is a good defense, and Shanahan is a good coach, probably. He used to be, but Shanny 2.0, the jury's still out. You got to show us this year, because now, this year, you've been given all the tools.
Well, and the thing, too, outside of D'Angelo Hall, and I don't, you know, this is his 9th season, so I don't know how spry he is going to be back there in the secondary, but outside of Hall and Merriweather, I'm not really sure how the secondary is going to play out for the Washington Redskins as well. That's something that they'll have to take a look at.
I don't know. I think that bringing in Tanar Jackson and getting him into a 1-year deal, so they've got another veteran DB this offseason who's playing on a 1-year deal, and I think that's going to do them a load of good. And I think they're going to be a team to be hard out.
But they've got look at the.
Okay. And look at their schedule.
I'm just saying, look at the wide receivers in their division that they have to go. Who they practice with? Santana Moss, who is good,
and
Pierre Garçon,
he's good,
and a Josh Morgan who hasn't been practicing because of his hamstring
injury. They're good, but they're not great. Who do they got to go up against?
You got to go against Nix and Cruz and DeSean Jackson and Macklin and Bryant and Miles Austin, and that's just your division.
Yeah, forget the rest of the guys in the league. Forget the guys that you also are playing in Baltimore, where they know how to catch the ball, and
Pittsburgh,
Atlanta,
Cincinnati with
Tampa
AJ Green.
Cincinnati. They do have a softer schedule, though, Stephen. Coming in last has its benefits. St. Louis, Tampa Bay.
Yes.
Minnesota.
Although Tampa Bay is not going to be a slap.
They're not going to be an easy out, but we just got done establishing that Washington's not an easy out.
No.
But that's a game, trust me, that I want to see. Josh Freeman. Josh looks so good.
I decided to bite the bullet. I had to, you know, sell some of my personal belongings to do so. But I got the NFL package so that we can get the Coach 22 camera and all the good stuff that goes along with it.
Kyle the login?
I'll think about it.
Please. I'll say his name again for you.
What is the quarterback there, Washington, by the way?
Robert Griffin.
Yes. Some people, kid's going to be great. I'm excited to watch football games.
Some of the players are calling him Rob. because he hasn't earned the full moniker.
You know, Thursday, we're going to be in San Diego for the Chargers-Packers games. You know who also plays Thursday? Washington and Buffalo. You know the first thing I'm going to do when I get home?
Watch Washington and Buffalo. First quarter.
Yes.
Yes. It is week one of the preseason.
It is week one.
And those who call the Hall of Fame game week one, you're wrong.
That is all the time we have, people. I am confident that this division will be there in the end fighting to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
This division, you know what? I don't know. It's tough over there. You look at the NFC right now and you're
like, the North and the South are frightening. And the West, I'm touching one helmet. Touching one helmet.
Yes.
What helmet am I touching?
The Cardinals.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, okay. you cannot say. That's total FCC violation.
The one I meant to be touching.
Yes, now that the one you're touching,
San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah.
You've got the division winners are the best teams in the NFL, period.
Yeah.
Period. The Giants, Packers, Saints, and Niners are the best four teams in the NFL, period, full stop.
Wow, that's pretty big. Folks, thank you for listening. Come back next week. We'll have the NFC North where we talk Packers, Lions, Bears, and Vikings for you. But till then, I'm Steven Miranda.
I'm Jeff Ellis.
For NFL Rants and Raves.
Goodbye.